I don't know, even mock these people who were involved with this, because the movie is basically a documentary of that being created and who's involved and the church members and how they get involved. But it was interesting to kind of get to know what was motivated.
And I think when disco music came out and it was being produced, a lot of those elements were being utilized for dance floors.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean this morning battered Jamaica, blowing down buildings, flooding communities, ripping away power lines. The first hurricane of the Atlantic season tore into the Caribbean this weekend, killing at least 9. Forecasters say the Category 4 storm may strengthen into a Category 5 today. In Mexico, more than 90,000 tourists have been evacuated from the Cancun area. More than 13,000 workers from oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico have been moved onshore. Dean should hit the Yucatan today. Rain-swollen floodwaters roared through Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma during the weekend. At least 13 people died. Hundreds were evacuated. Damages are in the millions. A Taiwanese China Air jetliner exploded in flames on the Okinawa airport runway today. All 165 aboard escape uninjured. In Kabul, Afghan police today rescued a German humanitarian aid worker kidnapped Saturday afternoon from a restaurant. Police arrested the men involved, who were identified as members of a criminal gang, not Taliban. In Fort Meade, Maryland, the only officer charged in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal faces court-martial today. Army Reservist Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Jordan could be sentenced to more than 16 years in prison. Israelis say refugees from Darfur fleeing the genocide in the Sudan will be immediately deported. As many as 50 enter Israel daily. In Minneapolis, another body was recovered Sunday from the Twin Cities bridge that collapsed earlier this month. The death toll now stands at 12. In Blacksburg, Virginia, carbon monoxide leaked into an off-campus apartment complex yesterday, sending 19 Virginia Tech students to hospitals. 2 are in critical condition. In Richmond, Virginia, NFL quarterback Michael Vick goes to court today to accept or reject a plea bargain in the dogfighting and racketeering case against him. He's charged with running a dogfighting business at his home and slaughtering dogs that failed to perform well. 3 co-defendants have already pleaded guilty. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
In New Zealand, the government has discovered China-made woolen and cotton clothing containing 900 times the safe level of formaldehyde. The toxic chemical may cause cancer. In a southern Saudi Arabian valley, more than 200 camels have died suddenly this week of an unknown illness. Authorities are investigating feed given them from an unknown source. 75% of union members at auto parts supplier Delphi ratified a new 4-year contract this weekend. GM's former parts division, Delphi, is struggling to emerge from bankruptcy. The Wall Street Journal reports the nation's largest mortgage lender, Countrywide Financial, has begun laying off staff. Those affected are responsible for originating loans. The Dubai Stock Exchange is challenging the Nasdaq for acquisition of Stockholm-based stock market Nordic OMX. Nasdaq bid $3.7 billion. Dubai just bid $4 billion. Following Wall Street's rebound Friday, Asian markets today enjoyed a 3% boost. Tokyo stocks ended the week plummeting deeper than they had in 7 years. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.47 a barrel, gold at $667 an ounce. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Oh, all right. Yes, it's Monday, and it's live, and I am John Fox. Welcome to Foxed Up here, everyone. And, geez, going to actually get a full week of shows in this week. Can you believe it? It's been just so on and off, and I'm so sorry about Friday. We just, with every new system, there's just going to be a bugaboo somewhere. And we ran into our first little, minor train wreck. And, hey, things happen. You got to work it out when you're working with a new system. But other than that, the new phone system that we connect with is just so much better than the last one. And CityNet support's been absolutely outrageous so far. And good on them. And you'll start hearing some ads for the folks, and you'll be seeing some ads on the website and all that. And I've been hearing some really good stuff from Bob about these people. But anyway, enough about plugging the people in which we plug. Anyway. oh, geez. I got a whole bunch of stuff laid out, story-wise. And then right before I'm getting ready to head into the studio and set up and get myself together, Gail comes across something that just I just have to go here. I'm sorry. I'm just reading the headline of this and it just does my head in. Hold on to your hats, kids. This is just too good for words. From boingboing.net, a directory of wonderful things, there is an essay, and the essay is entitled, "I am the proud owner of Karl Rove's father's solid gold cock ring." That's right. Karl Rove's father was into piercing. Okay. Now, this isn't completely verified yet. However, it seems as though that there's some basis for this. Let's see. Shannon Larratt, founder of the body modification online publication, BME Zine, pointed us a few days ago to a first-person essay that a person named Yard Dog was writing regarding the adoptive father of Deputy White House Chief of Staff Karl Rove. Yard Dog claims to have been a close personal friend of the now-deceased Elder Rove. About the essay's contest, Ms. Allaret said, Karl Rove's father was not only gay, but a part of the early body piercing scene and a regular at the 70s piercing parties. There are pictures of him on BME. Here is part of the essay. BME Zine just published it in its entirety with detailed photos said to depict the elder Mr. Rove's numerous genital piercings. Boy, this will do with a Christian conservative as well. I have no way of the author here, well, the person reporting on this essay here, Boing Boing, says, I have no way of immediately verifying the statements in this essay or the source of the photos. I am pursuing this now and have received responses which so far indicate that this material is valid, and I will update soon. I do not know that Mr. Larrett is a friend of the author, a known participant in the body modification community, that he is personally familiar with the story and is not given to publishing material he believes to be false. With that disclaimer out of the way, here's an excerpt. Louis loved his piercing. They made him smile. People who are pierced will understand. As I, John Fox, do. So I'm not holding anything against the guy. So there on the floor in his library, amid teaching videos on piercings and piles of Piercing Fans International Quarterly, I listened to one man's account of his travels through the Los Angeles piercing community in the 70s and 80s. The piercing parties with folks getting pierced on coffee tables and private homes, nurses that helped, and a guy named Jim. I knew about Jim. I had both my nipples pierced at the Gauntlet. Louis also knew about play piercing. I wanted to learn, and so he taught me. And so between splashing in the pool, brunches, visiting his volunteer list of AIDS patients, eating at all numbers of restaurants, visiting friends who lived around the area, birding at the Salton Sea, and eating TV dinners, we explored needles and the effect they have on you. During the day, I was told the names of piercings. I hated the words, but I wanted to know about each kind. To this day, I've never gotten a dido because Louis told me it was hard to heal. I never copied Louis's piercings, but I never got them out of my mind. Some years later, I last saw him. I found another friend, a professional piercer named Squeeze, who told me on another journey, recounted here on BME, Louis would be proud. Louis and I exchanged gifts over the years. He really liked those stainless ball weights, and I like gold jewelry. So I have a 14-karat gold you-know-what ring that once belonged to Louis. And he had a bunch of ball weights that belonged to me. So who cares about one man's journey into piercing? For me, it's not about a gossipy story, though some people will take it that way. I sure am. It's not about telling secrets or things left best unsaid. This is so much better said. It's about a little piece of history. Perhaps in telling the story, someone else will be able to tell a better one on another day. The Jim in this story is the Jim Ward, who started the piercing industry. Louis is Louis Claude Rove, whose adopted son's first name is Carl. Louis died quietly in Palm Springs at his very secular, non-believing son ran President Bush's campaign for president of the United States that energized the Christian evangelical base around the wedge issues of gay marriage. You enjoying this one, Peter? I bet you're going to get to this one in your show, mate, just because it's too much fun. As I watched the news this week, I saw Karl Rove standing beside the president, his voice crocking, talking about his love for Bush and the country. But over that noise, I heard the memory of Joe Coons whispering in my ear, "Do you know who his son is? Oh, my God." And now I wondered if that son ever cried for the man who raised him and watched him grow up. I'd be curious as to know Karl Rove ever explained his pierced... pardon me. This is just too nuts. I lost it. And now I wondered if that son ever cried for the man who raised him and watched him grow up. I'd be curious as to how Karl Rove would ever explain his pierced gay father. He never told the people in Luis's phone book that he had died, nor invited them to a service, if there was one. No one even knows where he is buried. As for me, well, I am the proud owner of Karl Rove's father's pure, solid gold cock ring. I put it away with a few memories and pictures of his father, and in my garden grows a nasty, prickly little cactus from Louis's backyard, alive and well. How good is that? And, you know, maybe Carl's brought this up with George. You know, we know George has a thing for bald men's heads. George was a cheerleader. Not casting dispersions or anything. Oh, it's just too good. So if you want to see more on that, go to boingboing.net. Anyway. And it sounds like, yeah, and I have to agree with Agnes in the chat room. It sounds as if his dad was a good man. And, you know, and probably was a fairly well-rounded man. I've known many professional piercers. A former bass player of mine, a guy who was one of the many bass players in the Butthole Surfers, was one of the first registered piercers in Texas when the piercing became even more mainstream in the 90s. And, you know, it's a really professional business. It's you do not do this on a lark. You don't do this half-assed. You have to train. You have to know what you're doing. People's lives are at risk, really. But anyway, that was just too precious to hold on to. I had to go there straight away. So we're going to take our first break here. When we come back, we'll do a couple things. We've got a really kind of cool track of the day today. I'm going back to an old favorite because I've reclaimed some missing music from the collection over the last couple of weeks. And so we'll do all that when we get back. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. And we will be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by.
Welcome back to Fox Up. Can you tell Agnes is running things today? We always end up with that track when Agnes is running the board. I love that song. Anyway, welcome back to Fox Up, everybody. Just, you know, during the break there was all this, you know, promo stuff for things that happen on the horn, you know. And first of all, can I say, Peter Godbold, I think, is going to end up with the gay, lesbian, transgender show listened to by more straight people than any show in history. Just because I think it is the most dynamic and enjoyable thing to listen to. It's just, it's funny, it's informative. That rabbi the other day, that was something else, and you couldn't ask for grabs for promos like Peter gets. And before that was a promo for Billy Shear's show, which yesterday I got to catch for the first time. Here's the guy who I've been having on this show for the last few months doing the Shear's music thing, and you know, then I was suddenly, you know, disconnected from the rest of the planet with no internet connection as his show goes on air, and I hadn't had a chance to catch it yet, but I really, really enjoyed the show yesterday. It was such a throwback to me of what I remember of FM radio, where there was a bit of something for everyone, you know, and there was kind of like this throwback to that long distance dedication thing, reminded me of Casey Kasem, and as Bob said, without the swearing. But you know, look at how we've grown in the 2 years that we've been doing this thing. You know, it really does my head in sometimes when I think that this network started as two shows, started with Bob and Agnes doing Head On and Bruce and I doing Fourth Estate Radio. We had one weekday show and one weekend show. And look at where we are. Look at what we've done with, you know, really almost no one's help. Aside from what we've recently opened the door to for listeners to make donations. Because we went for ages saying, no, we're not going to do the donation thing. We want to do this, you know, on our own. Well, you know, if the unions aren't going to come to the party, if the Democrats aren't going to come to the party, if, you know, all these progressive organizations aren't going to come to the party to probably what is the single most useful, I would think, piece of progressive infrastructure to have been born out of nothingness. I only stand in awe of what has been sent to us by listeners who can. And this is something that we never wanted to do. But, you know, we finally got to the point where we said, you know, it might not seem to be important with the people with the big bucks, but we got people out there that rely on us for, you know, whether it's the information, whether it's the dialogue, whether it's the community, whether it's just the voice from somewhere else, somewhere that's not bought and paid for by a corporate interest, a major media conglomerate, whatever it is. And it's really been it's really been bugging me that I've been off air so much lately, because, you know, just like everybody else in this network, I have I have sweat blood into this thing. And that's not looking for, oh, you poor thing. No, I've done it purely because it's something that I have wanted to do. And everyone else on this network does the same thing, right? And we do what we do because we have to. And we're going to continue to do this as long as we can. Okay, enough about the whole how cool are we thing. Let's move on to the track of the day. So I got a whole bunch of music, shall we say, endowed to me a couple weeks ago. And I'm going through, and there's like all these things filling in holes in the megapod that is being created. And the soundtrack for one of my favorite light entertainment films in history was on there. Now, I have the film. And in the film, a lot of the music you only hear snippets of. And I remember the film being Singles, which is a silly little film set in Seattle, shot in 91, released in 92. And in the film, you have cameos from the blokes in Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and whatnot. And there's this one really cool little track within it. And this is when Soundgarden was at their, you know, getting ready to go, you know, huge guns. And Chris Cornell added this one solo track, and it's just him and an acoustic guitar double tracked. And it was one of these things that you saw a sign of what we were yet to see from Mr. Cornell in the future. And his first solo record, which I've played a couple tracks from in the past, Euphoria Morning, was a really interesting experiment. And he's got a new one. I think it might actually be out already. And I haven't heard any of it yet. But this, again, is one of those guys like falling into that Days of the New thing, that it's the retuned guitars and just kind of like the sharing of influences and a little bit of a darker feel kind of thing that I just love. But it's got a great little falsetto melody, and this great little double track guitar part, and he's playing in some sort of open tuning. I've never actually figured this track out, and it's just a really, really cool song. So and if you've never seen the film, I suggest you go out and rent it. It's really, really great fun. And you get to see, like, you know, Pearl Jam playing as a pub band. It's really cool. So without further ado, from the single soundtrack, Chris Cornell and Seasons. Roll it, Agnes. Thank you.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Kevin Egler is a teacher in Kent, Ohio. He's not crazy about the Bush administration, so on July 25th, he placed an Impeach Bush sign on public property on the grass near an intersection, which he's done hundreds of times before. But this time he got ticketed for unlawful advertising in a public place. Egler asked the police officer why he didn't have a right to place his sign there when realtors can place their for sale sign there anytime they want. According to Egler, the officer said, "You don't know the difference?" But the officer didn't answer his own question. As Egler's attorney points out, the answer seems obvious. Commercial speech in Kent, Ohio is permitted. Political speech is verboten. This is discrimination on the basis of the content of speech, which is supposed to be against the law and the Constitution. Late last week, the city of Kent decided to dismiss the unlawful advertising charge against Egler. Instead, it's planning on charging him with littering. Now, instead of facing a $100 fine, Egler could have to fork over $500. Doesn't look like the city is going to charge realtors with littering, however, or for that matter, charge those who place American flags in the medians. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and a little bit of Stone Temple Pilots there. And, you know, it's an interesting little kind of... I came a little late to that band. I don't know why I'm on a music thing today. Surprise. You know, I dug him and all. It was all kind of cool and you know, but I was into considerably heavier kind of stuff at the time, you know. And in the midst of the Sound Gardens and the emerging Tools and all that, I was just kind of going, oh, these are kind of, you know, it's kind of like light version of Pearl Jam. However, I did a gig with them as a young stagehand at the Sunken Gardens Theater in San Antonio, Texas. And it was just after they did their big unplugged thing, and that song was huge, Big Empty, that one there. And first of all, it was the first time I had ever seen a band have an entire semi-trailer that was just for two-story projection screens that were in the form of lava lamps that were put on either side of the stage just on the outside of the PA. And about 30 minutes into the set, you know, they're doing all the big rock stuff, and I started looking at this guitar player, and I'm going, wow, this guy's pretty bloody good, you know, and these guys are all really good players. And then, you know, if anyone remembers when they had their big unplugged kind of thing, they had this set with this beautiful kind of half-decrepit chandelier and these amazing chairs and whatnot. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the set, coming down from the sky, and this is an outdoor show, comes the furniture, comes the chandelier, and the little, you know, cut-down drum kit. And they did this 30-minute pseudo-acoustic set. And I just kind of sat there and went, all right, I get it now. I'm a little slow, but I get it now. And Scott Whelan became one of my favorite modern vocalists, and I'm really glad that he's doing well, you know, with Velvet Revolver. And, you know, he, like so many from kind of that time, you know, that we lost to the unfortunate scourge that is Smack, you know, he fought so hard and you know, put himself into rehab, came out, fell off the wagon, screwed himself up again, ended up destroying his band. And then, you know, many, many years later, a couple of the guys from Stone Temple and, you know, the remaining legitimate members from Guns N' Roses come and form this, you know, the first supergroup of the Naughties. And you know, they couldn't tour here because of his drug conviction in the States, right? He had a conviction looming over his head. And so they couldn't tour here. Yet, David Geffen, when they were getting the whole Velvet Revolver thing together, you know, he said, this band will not happen without Scott Whelan. And Scott Whelan will die if he's not performing. And so they hung out for him. They worked with him. They were friends to him. And they reckon that he's, you know, stronger than ever. And even though I haven't, you know, become a huge fan of the Velvet Revolver thing, I'm just really happy that he has, you know, where so many have died, you know, we lost Lane, we've lost, you know, just the list goes on, Brad from Sublime and all these guys, and it's just, you know, it shows you that, you know, even when you're, you know, kind of like a media entity, you need friends, you need people to get you through the toughest times in your life, and sometimes even when you are your own worst enemy, you need your friends. And I just, you know, and this is one of the things that I think is kind of defines the progressive movement as well. That, you know, we have to look out for one another. You know, we just can't go on and say, well, you know, you're a screw up, so I'm going to leave you in the dust. Even though you and I have done great things up until now, because you screwed up, I have to write you off. No. We don't do that. You know, it's very similar, the story of Alice in Chains and Lane Staley. They were never going to walk away from Lane. And either Lane was going to get himself out of it, or he wasn't. And unfortunately for him, he didn't. And, you know, so just to me, it really is one of those things that I think is, you know, an unposted definition of us. You know, as progressives, that we're not just in it for ourselves, and we are ourselves better when we support one another. And it's just it amazes me, you know, that it's such a simple thing, and it's never said. But, I mean, you just look at, you know, what we've done with this network, you know, people that who have never met face-to-face, and look at the things that we do, you know. And some of us have, all of us have gone through rough times when we've gone through this, and we've all backed each other up whenever we can, you know. And if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be here 2 years down the line. So, you know, and I think it's one of the greatest examples that we can live by and show those that are in it just for themselves and just for the money and just for the profit and just for the status, that we are better ourselves when we help one another. I know it's all soft and gooey and all that, but you know what? It's actually when you show compassion and when you show understanding and when you show the ability to live outside yourself that we improve the world that we live in, that we become better people. And I'm really, really tired of shitty people trying to convince us of this somehow is not true. I mean, the military has lived on this idea for ever, you know. Even though she's on another network, I'll quote Randy Rhodes. The military believes that you are only as strong as your weakest link. And I just, and I think that that it is just so unbelievably true. So anyway, moving on to stuff. Here's a... Gene sent me a whole bunch of stuff, as he always does. I love our news ninjas. They're just fantastic. And we're going to be having a new ninja blog popping up very soon, but more on that later. Now, this is pretty funny. From a taxation blog, I guess this is. It's called Taxalicious.com. they have a YouTube video here, which you can go and check out. I'm not sure if I got the link on today's show post for this, but just go to Taxalicious.com. You can find it. Bicycle Messenger deducts food as alternative energy source. And the person who posted here just says really quickly, this is kind of an old story, but very interesting in light of how hot the topic of alternative energy is right now. A bicycle messenger in Canada attempted to deduct his food expenses as an alternative energy source that powered his business mode of transportation. So then he asks, following this line of thought, could he also deduct his toilet paper? I don't know. But it's an interesting concept. I mean, if you're a human-powered business, as a bicycle messenger would be, and as, you know, some guy who runs a farm or whatever is able to deduct his fuel costs that he pumps into his vehicle to do his business, well, then why shouldn't you be able to deduct what you use to power your personal machine if that is the way you do your business? I find it an interesting concept. And I wonder how it would stand to legal challenge. It obviously says here it says attempted, so he very possibly failed. And to be honest, I haven't had a chance to actually watch the video, but I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny. To take an absolute weird and bizarre turn, I'm going to talk a little bit about economic stuff, as I do from time to time. And, you know, we've had all this stuff going up and down with the stock market and, you know, billions of corporate welfare being pumped back into the stock exchange. And in my mind, if you're going to be running a free market economy, it should be free to fail. But that's a whole other story. And you know, I loved all the spin today that, you know, it was here, you know, you guys are just getting to Monday over there, so you know, it's your since the Fed did the drop in interest rates, what, 0.25% or whatever on Friday to you know, pump things up again. We've already had our first day of trading, and because of what happened in the States, you know, the market regained some of its lost ground. But again, we have all this kind of jargon that comes out going, it surged, it's been a huge day, we've made money. Now, we haven't talked about everything that was lost. You know, consumer confidence is starting to fail in a lot of ways. Well, and it's bound to happen. And so one of the things that Gene also sent me is from the Raw story, run-on banks in L.A. amid crisis. Walmart CEO says customers are running out of money. So in this ownership society of consumerism where the consumer has to prop up the economy, and if you're not out there spending, America fails. If people don't have money to spend, what are you going to do? And it says here, Walmart CEO H. Lee Scott Jr. says customers are running out of money. Earlier this week, consumer juggernauts Home Depot and Walmart reported softer than expected earnings. Penned the New York Times, the sober forecast reverberated across Wall Street, sending the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index down by nearly 2%, with the Dow dropping more than 200 points. Shares of both Walmart and Home Depot fell around 5%. Economists said the sluggish performance of the chains, Walmart missed its profit forecast and Home Depot's earnings dropped, could signal broader troubles in the economy. There in the article was a sobering remark indeed. Many customers are running out of money at the end of the month, said H. Lee Scott Jr., the executive of Walmart. And that's coming from a guy who's never run out of money at the end of any month. In Los Angeles, economic concerns hit close to home. Anxious customers of Countrywide Bank jammed its phone lines, branches, and website after the nation's largest mortgage lender, which owns the bank, announced it was facing problems from a credit meltdown. Countrywide Financial Corporation, the biggest home loan company in the nation, sought Thursday to assure depositors and the financial industry that both it and its bank were physically stable, wrote the LA Times Friday. And federal regulators said they weren't alarmed by the volume of withdrawals from the bank. Bull dinky. They were freaked. The rush to withdraw money by depositors that included a former Los Angeles Kings star hockey player and an executive of a rival home loan company came a day after fears arose that Countrywide Financial could file for bankruptcy protection because of a worsening credit crunch stemming from the subprime mortgage meltdown. At Countrywide Bank offices, in a scene rare since the U.S. savings and loan crisis ended in the early 90s, funny, that all happened under another Republican government. So many people showed up to take out some or all of their money that in some cases they had to leave their names. The Times added, Bill Ashmore drove his Porsche Cyan. You need a Porsche 4x4. You must be a wanker. To Countrywide's Laguna Niguel office and waited half an hour to cash out $500,000, which he then wired to an account at Bank of America. It's because of the fear of bankruptcy, Ashmore, president of Irvin's Impact Mortgage Holdings, which escaped bankruptcy itself recently by shutting down virtually all of its lending and laying off hundreds of employees, told the paper. It's got my wife totally freaked out. I just don't want to deal with it. I don't care about losing 90 days of interest. I don't care if the if it's FDIC insured. I just want it out. I'm telling you, folks, it's only going to take a little bit more of this uncertainty to create panic. And this, you know, we have been running things so one-sided for so long that when you are, you know, we have an economy that we want people to spend, but we don't pay them jack. We don't make anything anymore, and we want to import everything because it's cheaper to make over there. If all the profits are going offshore all the time, and all the labor that is used to make the products in which American consumers buy is done over there, and it's the same thing here in Australia, you're going to lose the balance. You're going to lose the ability to keep it running, because at some point, the lowly consumer, after they've lost their home because they were given a home loan that they couldn't afford, and as they lost their job because someone decided that having their products manufactured in a country that has no labor laws or environmental policy to speak of, because they can make a few more bucks. Where is the income supposed to come from for the consumer? And remember, you know, before, you know, 1940, I think, Americans were referred to generally as workers. And then, due to a relative of Sigmund Freud, they were turned into consumers. And that's a very interesting little bit of history that I've been checking out recently, the workings of how the American people were turned from workers who only bought what they needed to consumers who bought things and desired things that they didn't need. And the whole thing is so out of balance, and all we do is damage to our planet, to people's lives, so that a few select can become rich as hell and keep trying to suck the blood like leeches off of the working class of this world. Rant over. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for being with me on this Monday morning, or Tuesday really morning, like if you're over here. Thanks to Agnes for producing today. It's nice to have you back, darling. Thanks to Ben Birch, who's on vacation at the White Rose Society, for the streaming and the archives. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods. Hi, ELO, for everything that you all do. Cup of Joe is coming up straight after Foxed Up here and the news. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we will see you tomorrow.
Sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean this morning battered Jamaica, blowing down buildings, flooding communities, ripping away power lines. The first hurricane of the Atlantic season tore into the Caribbean this weekend, killing at least nine. Forecasters say the Category 4 storm may strengthen into a Category 5 today. In Mexico, more than 90,000 tourists have been evacuated from the Cancun area. More than 13,000 workers from oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico have moved onshore. Dean should hit the Yucatan today. Rain-swollen floodwaters roared through Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma during the weekend. At least 13 people died. Hundreds were evacuated. Damages are in the millions. At the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah, officials say the six coal miners trapped for 2 weeks in a cave-in are likely dead and may never be recovered. All signs indicate no one survived the mine collapse. Last week, three rescuers were killed and another six injured while trying to reach the men inside. Sunday in central China, rescuers began pumping water out of a collapsed coal mine. 181 miners were trapped inside when it caved in Friday. A Taiwanese China Air jetliner exploded in flames on the Okinawa Airport runway today. All 165 aboard escaped uninjured. In Kabul, Afghan police today rescued a German humanitarian aid worker kidnapped Saturday afternoon from a restaurant. In southern Iraq, a roadside bomb this morning killed the provincial governor. Mohammed Ali al-Hassani was a leading member of the parliament's largest Shiite political party. In Fort Meade, Maryland, the only officer charged in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal faces court-martial today. Army Reservist Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Jordan could be sentenced to more than 16 years in prison. In Minneapolis, another body was recovered Sunday from the Twin Cities bridge that collapsed earlier this month. The death toll now stands at 12. And in Blacksburg, Virginia, carbon monoxide